Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
What is up, everybody, and welcome in to the Backliners podcast. It's Agro and Barracuda, as per usual, here with another great episode of our phenomenal podcast that all of you like and none of you have any complaints about under any circumstances. Just wanted to let you guys know that this week's episode of the Backliners is, of course, brought to you by Factor Meals, over all the homies over at Factor. You can check them out at go.factor75.com/backliners or just use code backliners130 to save, you guessed it, $130. Thank you to Factor for sponsoring today's episode. Barry, we got some patch notes to talk about.
Yes, and
I've been excited to talk about this. Number one, to remember everything that's happening in this patch. It's so hard to keep it all straight. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, we're talking about changes so many different changes in so many different timelines, you know, not like cinematic, like alternate universe timelines, but like what we're going to do in season 10 and what's going to be going live in the next patch and bonus balance, like all this kind of stuff. A lot of times I kind of get a little confused. So I really like these shows because it helps me remember. And also,
yeah, I kind of retweet that. It helps me remember because it's like, what patch are we playing on? What patch are we scrimming on? What patch is live at the moment? Which patch do we play SPL on? Like, yep. Is this god going to be available? It's a lot to keep track of. I mean, yours is way worse, but
yeah, imagine what you have, but like four more patches like that you have to worry about. It has only gotten worse since I've joined the dev side, for sure.
Nice.
But in a good way, you know. The other reason that I was excited to talk about these patch notes was because there was they generated a lot of discussion, you know, clearly based on the reaction from a lot of content creators and the subreddit and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. We definitely missed on a couple of things, and, you know, we're never going to be perfect, and I have no problem saying things like that. But I did think one thing was interesting, and I wanted to see if you had any potential thoughts on it, because maybe it is just what we were just talking about. There were a lot of people that were particularly upset at the lack of nerfs for some of the top meta items, you know, items like Glad Shield, Manticore Spikes, Bluestone, things like that. But we typically don't do meta-defining nerfs in main patches. Those are almost always dedicated in bonus balance. We do occasionally nerf things in full patches, but it is most of the time when something is, you know, just dominating in a way that is super unhealthy for the game. There's always going to be things that are the best. Or it's like paired with other buffs that are supposed to go hand in hand. Sovereignty nerf in this patch being an example of that. That it's there, you know, we didn't want to do that in bonus because we wanted to make sure that supports didn't get hurt by losing that consistent HP 5 source. So we wanted to pair it with buffs to Sentinels and Benevolence and Warflag and all that kind of stuff. So that is typically when we do those nerfs, is only during bonus. So I was kind of surprised at how negative the conversation was about this patch, because there weren't these nerfs, but there typically aren't. Now, it's a whole different discussion on whether there should be nerfs in that kind of stuff. I don't think it's like a this is how it always has to be sort of rule. But that's been our operating procedure for some time. So I don't know. I was just kind of a little surprised. Like, as a player, Bera, do you think in that way, like nerfs are for bonus and buffs are for main patch, or is that like not a commonly understood thread? Because I'm not like revealing a secret. This is, we've been very open about this for a long time.
I would say it's not really a common thing, in my opinion, that most people know about.
Sure.
And also, I think the community kind of just retweets whatever people say. Like,
yes, that is definitely
not
true.
To say like they don't have their own opinions, but I think a lot of people are driven by like content creators. So if a content creator has a loud voice about something not getting nerfed, like it's just gonna like spread like wildfire, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's always the case about everything for sure. But yeah, I don't know. It just felt a little odd to me.
I didn't really expect them to get nerfed, I guess, because I think it feels like more of a recent thing than something that's been happening for a long time. I mean, granted, I really just started playing Smite again like 3 weeks ago, but
mm-hmm.
I don't remember Soul Eater or Glad Shield being like that dominant beforehand, like at the LAN as well. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I don't remember those items like completely running the scene.
No, they got buffed. I think those actually broke a little bit of precedent and got buffed in a bonus patch, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And like I said, these aren't hard and fast rules. I'm sure we've done a lot of nerfing in main patches in the past. We've done a lot of buffing and bonus balance occasionally. That was an oxymoron. But that is the typical like thing that we have talked about doing. So that amount of like expectation, I guess, was just what caught me personally off guard a little bit. But you know, I certainly understand. Tank metas are typically some of the most frustrating for players. How much do you, as an ADC player, like buy in to the idea that this is like a hard tank meta right now?
Honestly, it doesn't really feel like a tank meta. And also, I might be crazy. I probably am crazy. But I have more fun in tank metas than burst metas.
Wow. I was about to be really excited about the thing you said right before that. And now you just completely pulled the rug out from all of your credibility with the sentence right now. I should have cut you off, bro. I should have stopped you right there.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about like the tank metas with more of like the slower team fight, less like 8 hyper carries running around everywhere.
Sure.
Because it makes the team fights, in my opinion, a bit more like structured and a bit more, I guess, predictable is a good word for it. Like, I feel like I can read the team fight so much easier than like 6 carries playing their own games and me trying, like, especially in ranked, like, I have no idea what's happening in a lot of team fights when there's that many, like, carries and people playing, not, like, selfishly, but playing their own game, trying to make, like, not, I guess, like, the big play, but just kind of ignoring the things around them just to make their own play, I guess.
Right.
So I personally like the tank metas, and also I do think those items are strong, but in my opinion, they also have counters, but I'm not sure for, like, the normal average newbie player if they are like buying anti-heal just for Soul Eater.
Right.
Like, if probably you don't buy anti-heal, then that item feels really strong. If you do, that item doesn't feel that strong. And
I agree.
I think it's like Beedzing Ares ult. Like, I think it's like, wow, that god's like super OP and there's no counter. It's like, oh, there is a counter. It's right here. Like,
right.
Just
we call that a skill check. Like it's a thing that you, once you've done it, you have significantly increased your chance to win in a way that is not obvious necessarily, but requires you to know to do a thing. And MOBAs are this genre of a million different little skill checks all at the same time. And so it's
10 different players are making in the same game.
Exactly. And you know, knowledge checking is a really fine line, I think, to have to balance on, where you want, if everything's the same and it's all simple, then there's no point in being creative or knowing what the whole item store does and all that kind of stuff. Not that you need to know the whole item store, but knowing what your options are as your class. But not making it so that if you make the wrong choice, you instantly lose, is like the fine line that I think is what, in my opinion, most MOBAs go for. So yeah, maybe Soul Eater is just too much of a skill check item, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, obviously we react very clearly to feedback. We say we react to feedback all the time. We're certainly hearing that amount of feedback. I can't say what, or if anything, we are planning to do. But I did just feel like the reaction for the lack of nerfs was maybe more dramatic than I expected. You know, that I expect those things. But it was a little bit more like, we are doomed than I thought we would get. Not like we are doomed, but like the game is in such a terrible spot. I can't believe they didn't nerf these things. Like I was surprised at how intense that was, because it's only like 2 weeks until bonus balance comes out, right? 2 or 3 weeks. So it's like, it's not even like you have to wait a whole patch cycle. And that kind of stuff gets nerfed in bonus all the time, if it's as strong as you're saying it is. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's just my take.
I mean, as someone who stays off of Twitter like 99% of the time and barely ever goes on Reddit, I wasn't seeing those opinions that much.
Sure.
I guess.
Sure.
I mean, people were asking me occasionally in my chat like what I felt about the patch notes, but I guess when I was getting a lot more questions about this patch than normal patches for some reason, so I guess there has been a lot of people talking like one way or the other about the patch.
Yeah, I think it's
a good thing. I don't know.
well, not in this way, in my opinion. You know, I do think that the general player base is not as happy with this patch as they've been with some in the past. And, you know, that's obviously not what we're shooting for. And hopefully we can learn from it and make the next patch better. It's like all that we can really do. I don't think there's a whole lot of good in sitting around being all mad about how no one likes it. It's just not very conducive. So, you know, it's not what I want to see, of course. But I want what we're doing to be what the players want more than I want them to just like whatever we do. So, think that this turned into a much longer discussion than it needed to be. Okay, let's talk about a little bit about the new map. Obviously, you have not gotten a chance to play on it yet, assuming you didn't play on PTS. But the Scepter is back in the duo lane. Some camp changes over there. Obviously, a bunch of new great art, all that kind of stuff. A lot of changes to like jungle camps and scorpions and solo and all that kind of stuff. Overall, what are your expectations for how this map is going to play differently than the map that everyone has been playing on?
For me, Scepter being in duo side, I already think duo's pretty snowball-y right now, especially with, like, trans and Devo starters. I guess with, like, anything in duo lane is pretty snowball-y. So it's a little scary if you die to an early gank, or even die to, like, an early mid gank, and they get Scepter. If the ADC gets Scepter, they're gonna run the lane. Like, that's just what it is. So I think there will be a lot more contesting around duo side now, which is pretty exciting, honestly, because there's a lot of games where I'm just kind of, like, along for the ride as my team, like, fights over the Forbes, fights over totems, you know, fights over mid camps. And now it's like, hey, guys, you want to come over for the Scepter? Like, that sounds fun. So hopefully, I don't know if, like, normal duo games like this, but my streamer duo games and ranked are just kind of like, there's a party in the duo lane from like minute 2 to like minute 10 of like 4-man rotations on both sides. There's a lot of rotating to duo and ranked. So I think that it'll probably make it a bit more snowballing in duo, which is a little scary, I think.
Sure.
Just if you get behind, if you're down like 1k, it's already a little unlucky, and then if they get Scepter on top of that, it's like, okay, I literally can't 1v1 this guy anymore.
Do you really think that hunters are going to be the ones taking the Scepter?
If they're fighting on the other side of the map and the enemy ADC already has the lead, then yes.
Sure, yeah. If it's just, like, up and they're fighting over solo side, I think that's definitely the case. But I think
Spinner was already taking that scepter. I'll have you know. I remember.
Listen, we know who's getting it on the Titans, okay?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, we know.
Like, oh, they gave him the scepter again.
Bro, okay, I remember early season 9 when I'd be like, we'd be playtesting and I'd be laning against Lermi and ADC and she would walk into the lane with the scepter. I'd be like, bro, come on. Why is Lermi taking this, man? Like, every other support takes it. I'm like, yeah, here you go, support. You can have it. Lermi's like, let's go, baby. I'm locked and loaded. That is a tilter for sure.
It feels so good in ADC when that thing's, like, clearing your way for you, clearing the camps, and you're just rotating around so fastly through the jungle.
Yep.
It's so nice. I mean, I did see that it got, like, nerfed a fair bit.
Yep.
Which is probably a good thing. Because before, when the ADC picked it up, like I said, they would just always win. So maybe now you have, like, some fight back potential. Now rereading the nerfs. It's still pretty strong, but hopefully it won't be like, okay, this guy has Scepter, we literally can't do anything around him.
I will tell you from playtesting, it is noticeably worse. Like, I'm still really pumped to have it.
As the ADC, or?
As any role. But it is definitely not as insane as it used to be. It is not the primary objective anymore. You know, that was like the primary... There's another oxymoron. That was the primary tertiary objective, right? Like, it was below fire and gold. Scepter was, like, the big thing. Now, it's much more about the trebs, because that's your, like, gold thing by collecting those offerings. But you've got the scepter as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that it's going to encourage a lot of rotations early to duo. I could definitely see, like, levels 14 onwards. No one's really rotating for it, and it's just whoever has the pressure in duo is getting those for free. But I feel like that's not necessarily the worst, because I don't know if you agree with this, Bera, but I feel like levels, like, 13 to 18 are typically some of the least, the least action filled as an ADC. Like, that's when you've kind of, like, handshaked the lane. You know, it's either even or one player is ahead. The player that's ahead is going to get to do what they want. If it's even, you're not really, it's too risky to go for a solo kill or a solo invade. You're only playing with your team at that point. And that's like, you're just kind of resident sleeper farming for like 4 to 6 levels. Maybe now this will encourage a little bit more action over there during that time. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I feel like Jake's just going to come over and take it and then leave.
Yep. So. Well, there's a wave there too. He might as well get that. Oh, you're purple spawning too? Well, I'm already here.
That's just the good timing by me.
Yeah, like, come on. The side camp's up? The castle camp? Yeah, I mean, I might as well take that. Like, it'll... You actually don't need this purple, do you, Bear?
Sorry you've been ganked 3 times in a row, but I need to share all this farm.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need to do. All right, let's move on to the items, because, oh my god, it's already 8:20. Mages, pen tree going back from 12 to 15. I think this is like a no-brainer, personally. Everyone's magical protection went up by far more than 3 after 9.5. These items have been really absent from the meta. I don't know that this actually makes them meta again. It definitely feels good. Just like every time they lost 3 pen, you noticed it. You notice it getting it back, but it's not as insane as it used to be going double flat pen. I've been messing with it a little bit in playtests. I don't know. I don't know how much this really puts them back, but I think it puts them... It's a step in the right direction for mages. I think this is the right direction for them. I just don't know if it's enough.
Yeah, I agree with everything. I don't know if it's enough to push the, like, stacking items out. It depends on, like, the pace of mid lane, I think.
Yeah.
And the items that are strong. Or not the items, but the gods that are strong in mid. If you, like, need the... Like, say, like, the Ryzen buff. If Ryzen can go the double flat pin and just annihilate people again, then it'll be strong. But, yeah, I'm not sure if he can, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, I don't want to touch all of these because I don't know... we weren't necessarily planning on splitting patch notes into 2 episodes. We probably could, especially with the pace of this show so far. But let's see where we get to. Bobble, meaningful change here, losing 5% of its protections debuff.
I'll be honest with you, I have not seen this item at all. So
understood.
I don't know because I haven't seen it. There it is.
Heavy Executioner. This one matters a good amount to you. Shelter gets a buff, but I think it's going to be pretty good. I don't know if Barry has anything else. Heavy Executioner. Yeah. Attack speed cap 1.75 to 1.9.
I think it's... This is just such a weird item because it feels so niche, like a Scotty item or like a Heim item or like an Honor item. I am not as sold on Heavy Exe as everyone else is.
Interesting.
I feel like Ferocious is just so much better.
Sure.
And I feel like the thought process in my head with Heavy Exe is I need the rest of my build to form around this item.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's like say for Scotty, for instance, like would I rather have to auto attack for my penetration, or can I just apply Titan's Bane and already have the pin on like those two auto attacks where I don't feel like I need to apply the pin for like my dog and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that would just change the way that my brain thinks about it. But I mean, Heavy Exe, and then your dog hits them, your dog already has a pin, so you're like getting double pin, so maybe that's good. I don't know. I'll have to do some playtesting with it, but I still feel like it's not really a Hunter item, because I feel like yellow damage is so strong right now.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think maybe if Silver Branch went off of the cap of the Heavy Exe, it'd be more attractive, but...
yeah, you think that might be good, Vera? If you could just build 2.5 attack speed, get that amount of pen, and get an insane amount of power?
I'm just saying this arm doesn't seem that attractive for hunters.
That's fair.
That's just my honest opinion.
Yeah, and I respect that. If Rod of Tahuti was 500 gold, it would be more attractive to me as a mage player, for sure. Yeah, I would like it.
Yeah, but you can't get that, so.
Right, I can't. I could, by the way. I could just change it, and no one would be able to stop me except for everyone who found that issue before it went live and then stopped me. But you aren't among those people.
That way, though, so.
True. There is no doubt about that. Just simply cheat. Sovereignty, Sentinels, Benevolence, War Flags, some adjustments. Don't think we have to really touch on those. Soul Eater.
Sov needed a nerf. So this is good. That item's been OP forever.
It is still OP, by the way.
It's still OP. Yeah.
Don't
disagree.
I think you're hard pressed to make me admit that any aura item isn't OP. I think aura items are really I think almost all of our tank aura items are absolutely insane. Like prop giving aura items.
As a backliner, I completely agree, and you guys should stop betting selfishly and buy my aura items.
Buy them, dude.
Here's the crazy thing to me, dude. Buy them.
You know what's crazy? You know what the craziest part about these aura items are? Is that the people who bought them get the aura. Oh. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's nutso.
You're just double stacking.
You're just doubling up. Soul Eater takes 25 more stacks to evolve and decrease the passability lifesteal from 25 to 20%. How much do you think this changes this item's viability, losing those 20, needing 25 more stacks and losing 5%?
I feel like the 25 more stacks doesn't really matter that much. I guess a soul inner might have a different opinion, but from a duo lane perspective, that doesn't seem that big of a change. I think the bigger one is the ability lifesteal. I think that definitely affects them. Also, I heard that this was proccing completely... Or healing completely out of combat, so I'm not sure if that's a real thing, but might be why the item has seemed so strong. I've heard it doesn't get anti-heal debuffed. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but yeah.
I'm not sure it is either. You have my word, podcast listeners. I'll follow up on that. I'll make sure that we're looking into that. I'm sure that we already are. Kitten of Doom on Twitter is like the QA god, just always on top of all these bugs and that kind of stuff. So I'll double check, but I don't know. I think that I will say I've play tested with Soul Eater a good amount over the last few weeks, and I have died twice on, and I kid you not, I died today in a playtest at 76 Soul Leader stacks. And I would have lived if I had the if I had it evolved. So it's doing something, you know?
OP item.
But I think this item is really fun. I definitely understand its frustration level, but I think this item is really fun to use, and so there is some value in that. It just might not be super fun to go against. Blackthorn Hammer, Warrior's Axe, both getting a little bit more power or damage. And Warrior's Axe's proc case, Breastplate of Vigilance, also unlucky for you, Bera, now has a bigger basic attack damage reduction aura range. But to be fair, Bera, how often have you actually played against Breastplate of Vigilance?
A few times here and there, but it like fell off so hard.
Yep.
After I can't remember what patch it was, but it was like every single game, and then it was like maybe one out of like 25-30 games.
So. I'd be surprised if it was that much.
Yeah, so I don't see it too often anymore, but this might make it a little... Actually, yeah, that range is pretty nice, so yeah, this will definitely make it more attractive for certain auto-attack-based team comps, in my opinion.
Yes.
Or against those, sorry.
Yeah, against those. That's definitely the move. Mulan, a god that I think will get hit pretty hard by Soul Eater nerfs. This is one of the best Soul Eater users in the game.
Yep.
Getting some buffs as part of, you know, potentially needing them, and then also losing one of her main items in some effectiveness. Grapple was scaling cooldown. That's a 3, 16 to 14. Now it's 14 in all ranks. And increase the damage on the arrow shot of her ultimate by 25 in all ranks.
How does that arrow shot come into balanced discussion?
How much do I want to reveal here?
Like, how does that work? You guys are like, okay, Mulan needs a buff on the ult. And it's got to be
the
arrow.
How much should I reveal here?
I don't want to know, because it seems like such a funny change of like...
It is funny, and it is really niche, and I remember this conversation really well.
Because 25 damage, 25 flat damage doesn't seem like that much.
It is not. But, I mean, when you look at, like, warrior base damage changes, they often are, like, little things like this.
Yeah.
And you can guess how much we think a god needs a buff or something like that based on the amount, how big the buff is
okay.
that they receive,
yeah, yeah.
right? So...
Okay,
this is like a low to medium low buff. If this buff were like if buffs were like steaks cook temperatures, like a rare one is like the most amount of change. That's like like an insane buff. You know, medium rare is like a pretty good buff. This is like a medium well buff. It's like it's not nothing. But it's not that much at the same time, you know? This is a medium well buff. All right, I'm just going to say it. You know, if I get talked to by Clumsy or AJ, I get talked to. I remember this discussion about the ultimate arrow base damage in particular because we were debating back and forth where she could afford to get buffed without buffing her more, you know, without putting her in a medium rare territory. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hate that.
And we don't want that in this instance, though. That is where you want your stakes the vast majority of the time. If you're going to a good steakhouse.
I think it's, like, always.
No, if I'm going to, like, a... I mean, I'm never in a million years ordering a steak at, like, Outback Steakhouse. It's not happening. But if I were to get one there...
Worst.
I would never order medium rare at some place like that. Like, if I'm going to a place that I don't know how good it is, I'm going to order medium my first time. Because that way, if it gets... if it gets undercooked, I'll still eat it. Where I don't really want a rare steak. I don't.
Honestly, it
grosses me out. Like, I don't want it. But at a really nice steakhouse, I'm getting medium rare. Because that's, like, perfect. You know, that's the best.
Yeah, I think I swapped after... I was getting medium rare for a long time. And then there was one place near the studios that gave me a steak that, like, I could not chew through.
And was it the place that everyone always went for?
Yeah,
like...
it was the really nice place.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
And they gave me a steak, like, I chopped it into, like, bite-sized pieces, and I chewed this steak for like over a minute.
That is the worst, dude. I hate that.
Yeah, I was like, this thing is not disintegrating in my mouth like it should.
And then you're in public and you don't know what to do, right? Like, yeah. do you try and like swallow it with some water and risk like choking? Yeah. Or do you try and do the discreet, like, you know, you like go, you have your blanket, you like go to like wipe your mouth and you just give a little like you just gotta spit it out. You try and spit it out as lightly as you can, like in there. You gotta like push it out with your tongue, you know what I mean?
It's still a giant piece of
spit. Yeah, it's this huge thing, and then you have to like wrap it up a little bit and like put it on your lap, and then you like feel it the whole time. Yeah, that's just the worst.
Dude, I did the swallow technique and almost just choked at the restaurant. I felt the piece going down my throat, and I'm like, I'm gonna die. And I just got to just keep drinking water, so hopefully it, like, went down my throat. But I remember the, like, the choking sensation of, oh god, I'm gonna die. Like,
that is terrible, dude.
It was, and then I also, I think it was one time I was eating with Destiny's family. I went, were we at Outback, I think? And I got, like, a medium rare steak. This thing was like a hockey puck.
Yep.
And it was rare. Like, that thing...
still mooing.
...came off the cow that day.
Yep.
Like, that was probably the worst steak I've ever had. Like, it was impossible to eat. Like, it was awful.
I'm a very picky eater. And it's my problem, not the restaurant's. And I understand and respect that. And I try really hard to not ever send any food back because that's a huge pain. You know, even if it's like a little mistake, like if it's something that I can take off or eat around or whatever, like I will always, always do so. And that's why I always, if I'm not going to a really nice steakhouse, I order a medium steak, because then if it's underdone, I'll still eat it. If it's a little overdone, I'll be sad, but I'll still eat it. Whereas if I order medium rare and it's underdone, then I really don't want to eat it. And so that way I'm just insulating them from having me send it back, is my thought process. Even if it means that I don't get the steak that I really want.
Do you think I can order my tofu that way?
Like medium rare tofu?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird, but I was like, I'll take my tofu cooked in medium, please.
Dude, I went to a Japanese restaurant last week and we got some type of tofu and it was quite good. I haven't had much tofu. What is it called? Like Agadashi tofu.
I've never heard that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It banked. It was really good. That was a good.
Yeah, a lot of places will just give you like raw tofu, and I'm like, I don't want this.
Yeah,
this is not attractive.
You didn't order rare tofu, did you?
Yeah, exactly, bro. Exactly. Like, I need some flavor.
Okay, so where was I on this Mulan? Oh yeah, okay. So we were talking. We didn't want to give. We were worried about, you know, where to buff Mulan, all that kind of stuff, and I thought about, you know, playing Mulan, watching players who are much better than Mulan than I am play Mulan. And I thought about how a lot of the times the top players these days aren't even shooting the arrow as part of the ultimate, because you can right click cancel it after we've added that and guarantee your three after the knockup. So you like root, knockup, insta cancel it, three them in the knockup, and so you don't even shoot the arrow for the base damage. And so that tells me that the arrow base damage probably isn't enough, and so we looked at arrow base damage. That's how we got there, and it's very niche. And those players will probably still do that because they value the CC and displacement and all that kind of stuff, but now, and when they're not canceling it, there you go. Oh, it even says here in the dev notes, we want to incentivize players to use the full ability instead of canceling out of it early.
I literally would have never guessed that.
There you go.
I feel like you just gave so many, like, nuggets of wisdom to chat that they're going to appreciate so much.
I mean, it's in the dev notes. I literally could have read that and been like, oh yeah, I can talk about that. I hummed and hawed for like 5 minutes thinking about it.
Yeah, but we got a 10-minute steak discussion.
We sure did, and you know what? They absolutely loved it. That's so funny. Okay, so now I'm pulling back the whole curtain. We're just going full Wizard of Oz in this podcast, okay? I was thinking about transitioning us into our ad read here for BetterHelp, who's a sponsor for this episode. And it says here at the very beginning, it says mandatory disclaimer, so I need to say this. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. It says, Talk about a time you got stuck focusing on problems instead of solutions. And that's kind of exactly what we just did for like 10 minutes. So, BetterHelp, I thought of a time when I was chewing steak that I couldn't swallow in a restaurant with other people. And I didn't know if I should swallow it or spit it out. And this is not a situation that I'm going to talk to my therapist about on Wednesday morning. But maybe it should, maybe it could be. If I started choking and everyone started looking at me and then I got a whole lot of anxiety about it, then that would be absolutely something that I would talk to my therapist about. So there you go. That is definitely one way that I could talk. Well, now I'm going to talk about it with my, I just absolutely have to move on. I'm in a real mood today. If you,
yeah, you can tell, I like it.
If you couldn't tell, listen, we have talked about therapy in general and how BetterHelp is a very easy way to get into it. If you aren't clued into those, then you've been missing out, both on podcasts, clearly, and in helping you improve your life. Bear and I are both huge advocates for going to therapy, and we understand that it can be very stressful and difficult to find the right therapist, and that's why that's where BetterHelp really comes in. So it's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. You just fill out a brief survey, and then you get matched with a therapist. And the chances that the first therapist that you find, maybe not with BetterHelp. You know, I found my therapist through a mutual friend, but I've also been to like a million therapists before that. I didn't really vibe with. You switch off of them. It's very common. BetterHelp makes that very, very easy to switch therapists at any time. So really encourage you guys to get out there and find someone to talk to. I think it's super important and will improve your life in more ways than you really expected. Barrett, I know what the answer to this is, but I'm guessing you agree.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. Before I started therapy, I didn't really value it that highly. And I was like, what can talking to someone do? Like, that doesn't seem that beneficial for me. And not that I viewed therapy as like a negative thing, but just watching Destiny go through therapy and the changes that she went through and all the things that she learned about herself, it changed my view on therapy completely. Like, I was a little cold to it to begin with, just because, I don't know, I think as a guy, you just have this guy just walls up, you know, and you just, like, I can solve all my own problems, it's fine, I don't need to talk to anybody, like, that's a sign of weakness, you know, but sometimes you do need to talk to someone. Sometimes you need to talk to someone a lot more than you think you need to talk to someone.
Yep.
And, yeah, BetterHelp just makes it so easy to get that foot in the door the first time.
Yep.
And I talked about it a bit more on, like, previous episodes, but therapy really changed my life. And I completely, completely want to push you guys towards it if you're struggling with anything. Just try it out. Just try out a few therapists. See if you can find one that you mesh with. I mean, obviously, like Agro said, sometimes it doesn't happen immediately.
Yep.
Sometimes you have to look for a little bit. Sometimes it does happen immediately. Just if you're struggling with anything, I assume everyone's struggling with at least one thing in their life.
Gotta be.
But just try it out. Just give the old college try.
Give the old college try. I know that we got to get back to these patch notes, but one last thing that I always hear that rubs me the wrong way is the thought that, like, why this person doesn't care about my problems. They only care because I'm paying them to, all that kind of stuff. Like, I really hate that mentality. About therapy, you aren't paying them to care. You're paying them for their expertise on understanding brains and thoughts and how they work and how they impact us. The right one, you'll be able to tell when you find the right one that does care about what's going on with you.
Yep.
So if that's, I've just heard that thought so many times, and you know, I think it's just indicative of people who haven't found the right therapist or haven't given it a shot. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/backliners today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/backliners. Thanks to BetterHelp for being a part of the show. Okay, Nike was the next up on the buff list. Barrier formation going down by 2 seconds as you rank it up. I think Sunder might be a little too good for Nike to be like super, super strong right now, but this is, you know, it helps. This ability is like really good when it's good.
Yeah, I haven't really seen too many Nikes lately either, so
yeah.
I don't really know if this is really going to bring her back into the light, because I think she's pretty far out of it right now. I think this is probably more of like a Nike jungle buff, maybe, than a Nike solo buff.
Interesting.
Just because I feel like he probably one-shots more with the two late game, but I feel like a lot of times late game, when you're getting the, I guess now with a 2 second shorter CD, I feel like it's not really going to come into play too much, but like Agro said, I think Sunder is a bit too strong for a solid Nike performance, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Nike jungle could be swinging for sure. Speaking of junglers, Ao Kuang, getting a nice little buff here. So his attack chain is staying the same amount of time, but is going up in damage. Those middle two, like quick little flicks of the sword are going from 50% damage to 70%. Oh, excuse me. Drank my water too fast. To 70% damage. And then Wild Storm. Did you know this ability had 40% scaling on a pure damage ability? That's
seems
crazy.
Seems good.
Seems good. Well, it's because it can have the two as well, right? Yeah, because it can proc the two. It was like doing insane damage before. Many, 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 many years ago. 50% scaling now. Better, but still pretty low.
I think this is the second buff Ao Kuang's received, right?
Yes, he got buffed not too long ago.
Yeah, so maybe some Ao Kuang jungle coming back. I swear this god's OP with Claw and no one's playing it, but maybe this god just sucks.
Yeah, I'm more on your side of the first thing you said. Awilix getting a buff on her passive, increased the duration of the buff that you get from a passive from 2.5 seconds to 4.
Me and Mask both thought this buff, or her passive, was on the initial hit. I did not know that it was a duration buff.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was only on, like, the initial hit.
Nope.
So, learned something a few days ago. Actually, last week when we were going over passive.
Didn't Mask play, like, a bunch of Awilix when he was in the SPL? I feel like it wasn't one of his, like, top-end picks. You know, it wasn't Rat or Naja or Mercury or anything like that, but, like, I remember him playing at least a little bit of Awilix.
Yeah, but I think that's just one of those things where, like, you just feel it happening, but you don't actually know it's happening.
It's true. Every time an Awilix one-shots you, and then you play Awilix the next game, and you do zero damage, it's because of this, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's because of the fact that they proc'd their passive on you, and you did not proc yours.
Yep.
It is crazy how important this passive is, and I wonder how many, like, I wonder how many plat players are playing around Awilix passive. You know what I mean?
I feel like no one is.
Like, I wonder how many Masters players are playing around Awilix passive now. Holy.
Yeah, I did have an Awilix support today that pogged off. Completely pogged off. So
okay.
So, might be some tech coming in.
Could be.
That cooldown's pretty short.
So yeah, on the ultimate too. Get down to 60 seconds now at level 20. Plus, I mean you're building 40% CDR in this character every game, right?
Yeah,
there's like no games where you're not building that. Bro, Gravity Surge buff with Erendite, like Erendite's really good right now. Like, your damage just popping this and then like blinking on someone must be absolutely absurd.
Yep.
Like, holy crap. Gravity Surge is one of the coolest ultimates of the game. I don't think it gets enough credit for how cool it is.
The ones over the walls are always the sickest, where it's like an Awilix like blind knockup and he just pulls somebody over the wall.
Oh. Yep.
I think it was like an adapting clip under like a mid-tier 2. They did that to someone, and I still remember it.
But isn't it cool when she's like, it's late game, and you see her in the jungle, like, setting up for, like, a 4-1 split on a Phoenix Siege, and she just, like, gets off Suku, pops the ult, and then insta-blinks in and just starts trading. Like, that's such a cool, like, there's not that many ultimates that are like that. It's kind of, like, set, and
that's it.
It's, like, a true, it's a stim ult with an active component at the same time. And I think that's really, really sick. Awilic's a cool character, for sure. I don't remember who was lead designer on her. I don't remember. Najah. Okay, I've seen so much Najah hype. Let me read the buff.
Okay. This god's OP.
There we go. Increased base damage on Armillary Sash by 20 at all ranks and lost 2 seconds on cooldown. And now Windfire Wheels, before, you only got Prots after you landed. So you had to connect and you had to take them up in the air. Now you get those Prots no matter what, whenever you fire it. So you fire it, you miss, they beads, you whiff it out the window, who cares? You get these Prots, and you still get the same Prots from landing. They're actually up a little bit by 10 at all ranks. Everyone is talking about now how Najah is insane. Are these buffs that big? I mean, these are rare. Like, this is rare tier buffs, right? Like, these are big buffs. But I don't think Najah was a god that anyone thought was any amount of good before this patch.
Yeah. Besides Scream. I thought she was good before this patch. I thought he was good, I guess. Before this patch. And people just weren't playing Najah, and now I'm scared. I will be probably perma banning this character in ranked.
Really?
Because this god is so annoying to deal with, like, a Sash ult on. Because, like, if you're in a button, sometimes your beads don't go off, or, like, ping-wise, sometimes your beads don't go off. And this character is just so annoying to play against, and if it's, like, and a support Najah that goes, like, Glad Shield is probably going to wreck you, and you can't really do much against it. And I played against a lot of Najah today in ranked, and that god just farmed me. Like, it's just, I feel like it does so much damage, and just, I don't know. It's a really annoying god to play as a backliner.
Yes.
And, I'll just be banning this god forever.
I'm interested to see how good Najah truly is, because you're not the only one saying that he might be one of the best gods in the game now. I think that'd be cool. How long has it been since Najah was one of the best gods in the game? Probably a long time.
Same with Susano.
Same with Susano. That's right. Increased the scaling on his 2 by 15%. Increased his Typhoon ultimate damage by a little bit and decreased the cooldown. He also did get a non-conquest nerf because among assassins he is on the high end in non-conquest. And of course, you know, the constant reputation for being a duo queue abuser in arena and slash and all that kind of stuff. So a little bit of a nerf there to non-conquest, but buffs in conquest. I'm a Susano lover. I love this god. One of my favorite kits in the whole game. I'm pumped about this buff, and I think it'll do a lot for him. His ultimate is so good, and getting that up more often is going to feel really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I didn't even know that his ult was 100 seconds. I guess he was, like, super OP in a previous patch somewhere, and it got changed from 90 to 100.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I think this god will be good, given a few team comps, or when you can scale into the early mid-game. And not get too punished, because I think that was where you're struggling for a while against, like, the warrior jungles and, like, lance jungle. And but I haven't seen too many lances lately in jungle. I think that character kind of fell off a bit after he got pretty heavy nerfs, which were needed in my opinion. But yeah, I think Susano will be pretty strong in conquest.
Excited for it. Kuku Khan getting 25 base damage on Zephyr. That's the AO1.
This god's already OP, man.
You think so?
Yeah, bro. This character, like, buffing, okay, buffing Kuku, Ra, Vulcan in a Najah buff patch.
Uh-huh.
I love feel it. Like the meta is defining itself. Like,
love it. Bro, when was the last time secure ultimate mages were meta? Besides Iset. Okay, besides Iset. And when was the last time the Najah was top meta? Come on.
Oh, no.
That's how it's got to be.
I just think it's funny. It's just
it
like,
is funny.
Okay.
I had the same thought.
Yeah, right?
I had the same thought.
I got a one-shot kit. You better not step in the mid lane.
Better not. Better not. Yeah, Ra gets 15% extra scaling on his ultimate. I love playing Ra. I'm really excited to play this patch, man. I think it's going to be really fun. I'm really stoked about playing some rank tomorrow.
I think the big mage ultimates are just the hypest ults in the game, so it makes mine a bit more fun and scary.
Dude, I'm just imagining someone hitting a fat Ra snipe in the esports arena in Arlington, Texas for Worlds, and the sold-out crowd going crazy, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, bro. Man, I'm so pumped for that. You're right. There's nothing better than a sick, like, mage ultimate that just
one-taps
someone.
Wait, Scylla got buffed too?
Scylla got buffed too, baby. Bring it in.
Bro.
Wait, hold on. We gotta cover this one, because the Vulcan one was met with a good amount of controversy. Backfire no longer counts as a movement ability, which means it can be fired while crippled, and his Inferno Cannon goes down in mana cost and cooldown. So a lot of discussion on the Reddit about this change to Vulcan and how liked or disliked it was. What are your thoughts on the backfire change in particular for Vulcan?
I think this is a really cool and good change because I don't think it really counted as a movement ability anyways. Because I feel like, I mean, some people are backfiring their way through the jungle and some people aren't. So I don't think it should have been counted as a movement ability anyways. I think it's a little weird that it was. I mean, it makes sense that it was, but you're like moving like 2 feet backwards. So I think this will just make Vulcan much safer, depending on the like gods he's playing against. And I think I think Vulcan's just a cool character to be in the meta. And I feel like he hasn't really had a spot in the meta for a very, 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 very long time. So
yes,
I feel like that's not really a bad thing to give a god that hasn't been meta in literally years a buff. So I mean, I feel like this is pretty needed.
Well, the counterpoint that I'm sure that the people who are upset about this would make is that there are other buffs to give him that are not this one, which is obviously true. That is a true statement to make.
You can say that about anything. Right?
Correct. Like, yep. Well, that's, you don't point that out.
Sorry.
This ability is not, its primary purpose is not movement. Its movement is there, in my opinion, as really effective and powerful flavor. That's what they call it in like Magic and a lot of game design. When something's there just because it feels right. It doesn't serve a huge purpose, anything like that. Now, this obviously does serve a purpose, but its primary purpose is there as flavor, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can use this to dodge things. You will use this to dodge things, both intentionally and unintentionally. It does not meet the same level this god does not have a lot of tools to deal with hard crowd control. He's got no hard, he's got no CC immunity, anything like that. This will not break this character. If Vulcan becomes really good, it will not be because he lost the counterplay of being crippled. What character has their primary damage on a movement ability? You know, and it's not even a movement ability,
I guess.
Yeah, you could argue that, but like this is not a primary movement ability. I think, is it perfect consistency? No, but we've never had, like, no one has perfect consistency. Arthur has incidental movement on his basic attacks and he can move while he's crippled, right? So like it feels better. It's good. Like, ship it. I'm excited for this buff. I think it's a no-brainer.
I honestly think this should have been a thing anyways, because I feel
sure,
as a Vulcan who has been crippled before, it's like, okay, I guess I'm dead. Like,
yep, exactly.
You hit me with one cripple, I guess I'm dead. There's nothing I can do. So I feel like this should have been a thing anyways. and I think it's fine to do. Like, this, I don't think it's as game-breaking as people make it out to be. I think it just, Vulcan players can now play the game into, like, an Aryu and a Cupid.
Sure.
So.
Chat, to their credit, is pointing out Awilix and Tyr as two gods whose main damaging abilities and are shut down by cripples. Thor, sure. You know, that one's less clear to me, but that is a lot of his damage for sure. So I get it. Well, you can even throw Thorhammer, you just can't TP to it when you're crippled. So that one,
that one isn't
quite the same. But you know, those are fair. Especially in Tyr's case, he's a warrior. You know, like that's,
imagine Thor's crippled and he can't
just throw his hammer. He's like, my hand is crippled. I can't
move.
Get this thing out of my freaking hand, man. I can't. Okay, Crush. This buff is one that just makes so much sense to me, because Scylla is a god that wants to last hit gods with her ultimate because it resets it. You know, you get to use another charge. Crush gives you magical protection reduction in the area, but it only gave it while it was on the ground. So you had so much inherent tension in the kit where you wanted to 1-2 while the 2 was underneath them and they're still root crippled. You go for the ultimate, you hit when the prot tread is there, but then your crush was just there to prot tread. You couldn't use it to deal the damage to set up to actually kill with the ultimate and still get the prot tread. This just makes this kit flow so much better, in my opinion.
And
this might break her, by the way. This might be insane. Like, I would not be surprised if this catapults her from, like, no play rate at a high level to a lot of play rate at a high level, because I think it matters a lot. 15% magical protection reduction is huge, but it just makes sense. Like, I'd rather have to nerf this down the line than have it interact in the way that it did. I think this just makes way more sense.
Again, I think this is another mage that's kind of just been dead for a while. At least a few months. I think I've seen 3 Scyllas in like 4 months. So, yeah. Not many people picking her. There's just more reliable mages to play that can get their damage off. With this buff, I think, as Agro said, I completely agree with the tension in the kit, because watching Scylla players try to like min-max the magical prop reduction over and over and over again is pretty funny. So yeah, I think this just makes it way more attractive. Again, in a Najah buff patch, so you know, all of these big set of mages are just getting a big buff, and you know.
Yeah. And I'm pumped about it.
And I'm pumped about it.
I will say, I feel like it's my duty to pass on great knowledge when I can. To all you Scylla players out there, many of you will probably start playing Scylla again after this buff. If you are in your ultimate and someone is juking around you trying to make you miss, the best thing to do is Andy them. You have to Andy special them. You have to run, you have to zoom up to them. They're going to be dodging, weaving, ducking, diving, dodging. You just run up and you right click cancel and one them, like right in their face. And then you 1-2 them right in their face. It works every time. It's uncounterplayable. It's actually not, but it works like every time. No one ever expects it. It's the Andy special. It's genius. Do it. Opwash, the final mage on the list, again, using the new non-conquest balance as a way to keep these gods where they are, or adjust them as necessary while making them better in conquest. This was a huge cornerstone of this system, and I think it's really exciting to get buffs for gods like Opwash and Susanoo, who historically have been difficult to buff. Little bit of extra damage on Fleeting Breath. Empty the Crypt's Revert on the duration. It's kind of the Mozwall patch, huh? Like Vulcan, Opwash, you know, Najah for his jungler. I think Opwash is like probably pretty good as a counter pick. Not even just into healers, but like into comps that can't kill him super well. After this change, like I think that he's going to be very serviceable, at his job. His job might not always be good, but at his job, he is going to be good, in my opinion.
Yeah, Mirrodin Poosh goes crazy, so... Yep. I think with so many, like, soft heals being in the game, with Soul Eater still, in my opinion, being in a relatively strong spot, I think anti-heal is really strong, and characters like Poosh are really strong, but he does die very easily to a lot of assassins, so kind of have to be a non-mobile mage gamer to learn how to position with these characters, so.
Yep.
Probably, you know, pretty good outside of Conquest, but his ult CD did go up outside of Conquest.
Dude, I love playing immobile mages. It's so fun.
I'm the same way with immobile hunters, dude. I just have more fun playing immobile hunters.
Yeah, I mean, playing mobile mages is really fun, too. I don't know. I was at a point where I'm, like, really having fun with Smite right now, and I just, like, dude. Everything, I'm just like, damn, that sounds fun. I want to do that. Oh, wait, that sounds fun. I want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of where I'm at.
My Heim gameplay has gotten so much better, and I am just ratting all over the place.
You're like, loving it?
I'm loving it, and it just feels so fun to just harass people and just do a few like little Zatman TPs here and there.
Yep.
And I think he's by far the most fun hunter for me right now.
That, yeah, I love that. I love that kit. His kit is just so cool. It's so cool. Okay, Kuzinbo. Passive description, we don't really have to cover. His ultimate now doing a little bit more damage in subsequent spins, not the initial hit, but if you get hit by multiple spins. And he now gains some mitigation while this ability is channeled. So a little bit harder to kill. I think this god is already really hard to kill in that ultimate.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So now he's like pretty much invincible is my guess during that ult, but it doesn't last that long. I don't know. Kuzinbo is one of those gods that I think if we could ascend, we could be all-knowing beings, and we could know the actual absolute strength, if every god was played to perfection, who would actually do the most? Who would be the best? I think Kuzinbo is up there. I think this god is crazy at what he can do. He's just like really weird and really hard to do it with, which is like kind of a flavor, bringing that back, like a flavor win. You know, he's like a weird, like kind of off-kilter god and lore and all that kind of stuff, so that kind of makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. I think this god, like, if you can be a good Kuzinbo would be a really good one-trick god. Like, you would win a lot of games if you played 100 Kuzinbo games in a row and just got really, really good at abusing this kit.
I think he has some games where he does absolutely nothing, and then also as a backliner trying to follow up on a Kuzinbo push is very sometimes hard. Impossible. Because yeah. Every Kuzinbo player pushes differently. Sometimes they push him right on the wall. Sometimes they slide him off the wall. Sometimes they try to do like a big U-turn, try to like shove him into your face, and he's like behind you, and you're like, oh no. So, yeah, it's I don't value this guy as highly, I think, as you do, because I feel like I've seen a lot of Kuzinbos just do absolutely nothing. I think he's more of like a soul winner than a support.
Yep.
Unless he's like the most broken support if he gets a lead. And
yep.
If he doesn't get a lead, he is the worst support in the game because he's just useless at his job.
Yep. Do not disagree. And finally, last but not least, it's the hunters. Rom gets a little bit of a buff to Astral Strike, the one, helping him clear a little bit less mana. And the ultimate gets a damage revert. It looks like only 10 base damage, but because of the way that the damage is calculated, it's percentage based on the, you know, on the ultimate and all that kind of stuff. So much more than just 10 damage. I think the revert makes sense. You know, this was one-shotting people pre 9.5. They have a lot more health and protections now. That is much, much harder to get one-shot by this ultimate. It still can be good when you hit all three. It always has been good. It just had a little bit of room to get better, I think.
Yeah, I saw in chat, I wanted to bring this up, because it is a Rama buff, but why doesn't his one scale off of physical power? And, like, Shablonk one does. What do you think the thought process is there? Do you think it's because his basic attacks are already, like, being empowered by his physical power, and, like, Shablonk one Bola doesn't hit the person he's hitting, so it like splashes behind?
Yeah, so excuse me, my
bless you.
I'm just like getting trolled by my body during this podcast. Yeah, I think the big difference is that Rom can hit the exact targets that he wants to with this increased damage, whereas Jibalanke can't. So, you know, Rom can hit 6, 7, 8 targets, you know, if there's two gods in the minion wave, he can hit all 8. X-Ball can't. So that would be my like general thought on that. Like, it certainly could. We could do it that way, but there probably isn't a whole lot of value to reworking the way this ability works when it already like works well. Like I think it feels pretty natural. I think it feels pretty good. And it's a change that could happen, but personally, I don't see a whole lot of value in it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. How good do you think Rom? Do you think, you know, Rom's one of those guys that I haven't seen like any of. Speaking of, you know, how you saw like Scylla, I haven't seen like any Rom recently. Do you think that this it matters for him, or he's still probably lower on the tier list?
I don't think it matters too much. It's more of, in my opinion, more of a SPL buff, because I think Rom is a very good SPL hunter, whereas he's just safe, you can snipe backline. But in ranked, it's like, okay, there's 8 people in my lane, my roll goes 3 feet, and I'm dead. And, okay, I'm ulting up and I'm in the air, okay, I'm dead on the drop. Like, I feel like Rama is just that type of character that just feels way better in SPL and competitive settings than in ranked.
Yes.
You just kind of die on this god. You can delay your death, but you just kind of die on him. Yeah, he doesn't really have, well, he doesn't have any self-peel. So you kind of need your boys with you. Yeah. So I don't think it will do too much in ranked, but in comp and SPL, I think it will.
Fair enough. And finally, it's Kernanos, I forget. Passive damage gets 10% more.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. And this already does a lot. Also, a little bit of extra damage on Bramble Blast. More than just a little bit. There is a lot of ticks on that ability. I forget exactly how many it is, but I remember looking at it being like, man, that is a lot of ticks. I would be kind of surprised if we didn't see some Cern mid lane, some Cern duo lane. I'm going to be messing around with some Cern jungle. Like, I think it's going to be pretty good.
It's definitely going to feel really good on his jungle clear.
Yeah.
And as, in my opinion, the meta is kind of like clear oriented. I think this will feel very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Cern is going to rise to the near top of the ADC pool. You know, he uses the scaling from Transcendence well. That's like the meta build. Yeah, Cern's going to be good.
Yeah, I feel like you can also just box frontliners so easily now.
Mm-hmm.
With like applying the Prostrate and then swapping over to your lifesteal stance, and then you're just 35% extra. That's a lot.
That's a lot. You gotta be really close.
A lot of damage. Yeah.
You know, you gotta be really close for sure to be dealing
35%. So when you're smelling that soul laner, you're gonna do a lot of damage.
They're gonna be. Never mind. We're just going to go ahead and not talk about that one. Before we move on to the random question of the week, I feel like it's my civic duty as a game dev and as one of the more public-facing Zeus fans out there to shut this suggestion down every time I see it. Someone in chat...
Bring the two back?
Yeah, bringing the two back. Everyone always says this. It's not you, specific chatter. I see this on Twitter. I see it on Reddit. I see it in Twitch chat. This buff is not a good buff for Zeus because all it does is increase his frustration exponentially. This ability is what I think is the core frustration of Zeus because it dumbs down his combo. You don't have to hit anything or anyone who's moving with the one. You just hit the two. Imagine this scenario, dear chatter. You're playing against a Zeus. He walks up to your tower, he throws the two, you walk out of range, he instantly recalls it. And now it's on cooldown right away, instead of having to wait that whole time. And if you're in range, he would have just tossed the one and done a million damage to you. But if you aren't in range, he'll just toss it, bring it back. And now I'm going to do that again in 8 seconds, because I've got cooldown. And I'm just going to do that again until, you know, we're on a tower siege, we're on a Phoenix siege, whatever. We're on Fire Giant. I'm just going to do this every 8 seconds until your frontliner messes up, and then I'm going to deal half your team's health. Over and over and over and over again. At least with the way the two works now, it's a commitment. You know, it's a long cooldown. It's going to last a long time out there. You use it as a zoning tool, and then it's on cooldown. That's a much more interesting play pattern to me than, did you mess up this time? Nope. Okay. How about this time? Nope. This time? Okay, yeah, you messed up. Chain lightning, ultimate, detonate, you're all dead. It's not to say it'll never happen. You know, it's a popular suggestion for a reason. It would feel good for him. I'm just here to tell you that I am not your friend in the room in this argument. I will argue against this every time because I think it will be not even that much fun for Zeus. And it will just be miserable to play against is my thought. Now, we start talking about stun on three charge detonate again. I'm your man. You know what I mean? Like I'm back in there. That's the thing because it's really like, whenever you're playing Zeus and you need to kill someone, you just like need someone to CC them in your ultimate. And that just feels really bad to need this middleman, you know? And if there's one thing we know, it's that middlemen aren't necessary. And it's because Mint Mobile is the one who taught us that. You know what I mean? Like they started taking the game to the next level by eliminating the middleman. You know, they don't have these brick and mortar stores that you don't need. I don't want to need this stupid support to stun them in my ultimate. It's the same sort of deal. Zeus could be the Mint Mobile of new Smite gods, taking the game to the next level, making quality phone service for just $15 a month. Zeus could be quality slaughtering enemy mid laners for just like one button and just detonate. You know what I mean? Bear, are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Qualdering? I was trying to combine quality and slaughtering, but it didn't really work out as well as I thought it would. It's okay. Kind of an unattractive combination. But yeah, I get what you're putting down.
Unlike... Mint Mobile and saving quality phone service. You know, unlike, though, so close. It's an unattractive combination, unlike saving money and having great service at the exact same time. That's what, can we edit that out in post-production?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, for anyone who hates their phone bill, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. You get the best rate, whether you're buying for one or the family. And at Mint, family started just two lines. You get your unlimited talk, text, high-speed data, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network, and Barracuda and his partner Destiny are both on Mint Mobile. So you get to tell your friends and family and extended family that you have the same phone plan as Season 1 World Champion Barracuda. And if that won't get them off your back, like they're on your back about all the stuff, you know, what are you going to be studying in college, or, you know, when are you going to try and change jobs, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. When are you going to get a new place? When are you going to win Worlds again? All of those things are going to be answered, except for that last one. If you simply tell them, I actually have the same phone plan as Barracuda and Derpy Bear, because Barra, it's working for you guys. You know, it's doing well.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, it's the same, dude, my brain is frying right now. It's the T-Mobile, it's the same...
Network,
that's it, is T-Mobile. And I used T-Mobile before and absolutely loved them. And the service is impeccable. It's the easiest thing you can do. It's literally $15 a month. I don't think that there's another wireless company out there that provides that tier of quality service at such a low price. And it ships straight to your door. You get a fresh little SIM card. You pop that bad boy in, and now you're paying $15 a month.
So easy. So easy.
And, you know, I'll love you for it. You know, me and Agra will both love you for it forever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
We're in this commitment together.
Why not? Destiny in the chat saying that she just renewed her Mint Mobile service for the year, and it was like $200 for the whole year.
Yep.
How long would it take you, dear chatter, to reach $200 for the year on your phone bill? A few months? How about 12? How about the whole damn thing? To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped straight to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/backliners. That's mintmobile.com/backliners. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/backliners. Thanks to Mint Mobile. Again, the best way to support the show is, of course, to hook it up with the sponsors. Speaking of supporting the show, it's almost there. You know, I actually did create the beginnings of our Patreon page. I started filling some things out. Barra and I have some details that we need to hammer out right after this, like how many cents is he getting per dollar that I'm getting I'm thinking like 5 cents to my dollar, but we're gonna negotiate that right after this show. So keep your eye out for that. It is on the way. The Discord is created for it, all that kind of stuff. So we are inching ever closer to having a Patreon if you want to support us that way as well. Okay, time for our random question of the week. Barra, yesterday. Last weekend, you know, it was a really fun time. We went to like this party for our friend's engagement. It was great. It was super fun. But I was very socially drained at the end of this. I played a Magic tournament that I didn't think I was going to be playing in. I was very under-practiced, played like it, did not play well. Wasn't that upset about it because of that. But I just really needed, I just felt like I was just a little grumpy pants, you know? Like, I was just grumps. And I didn't really, I kind of understood why, but it wasn't really warranted. But, like, sometimes you're just in that mood. And I went out, and I decided I was going to go golfing. And none of my friends like me that golf. So they all said that they didn't want to come with me. And I went to the golf course that's closest to my house, and they had a lot of open tee times. And I said, hey, could you just fit a single, expecting to get paired with someone, because what golf courses typically do. And he said, yeah, just go out and, you know, pay it and go out to the first tee whenever you're ready. I played 18 holes alone, totally by myself, on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Listen to football, listen to my audiobook a little bit, listen to some music at different times, just had my AirPods in, played a couple extra balls because there was no one behind me.
That's the best.
That was one of the most relaxing afternoons I've had in my entire life. I loved it. It was so good. And now whenever I think I need just like something to decompress, I just need something to do for just me, I am going to be trying to emulate that exact experience probably for the rest of my life. What is your, I just need some me time, I just want to like reset, get my mental right. Like, what is your activity in order to do something like that?
So first off, for me, really good question, by the way.
Thank you.
Really good answer. That was a good story.
Thanks.
I will put my phone down.
That's key.
Because
can't use it. Well, I was using it to listen to stuff, but that's it.
Yeah, that's different. My phone is connected to work and it's connected to everything. So during SPL seasons, I'm constantly distracted by it. Even non like SPL scenes, I'm still constantly distracted by it. So step one for me is to put my phone down. And step two is probably to go for a nice hike, one that I haven't been on before. I go on a lot of hikes alone, and I like being alone, but it's still kind of scary because I like going to places that I haven't been before.
Yeah, that's usually not the best combination.
Yeah, but I do have a nice little app. I think it's called, like, All Trails.
Mm.
And it gives you, like, the full trail that you'll be hiking. And it will also give you, like, the GPS coordinates of where you are on the trail as you're hiking it.
Oh, that's cool.
And then it also has, like, emergency, like, things put in place to, in case you, like, anything happens while you're hiking.
Sure.
And so that's a big safety thing for me. And I there's just something about, I mean, I still listen to music while I'm hiking. Like, I'll have my phone in my pocket, or like I have like a little hiking backpack that I go with, and I'll put my phone back there. So I'll be listening to music out there. But sometimes, like, I went to a beautiful waterfall the other day, and I just sat there for like 30 minutes. Like, I took my earbuds out. Like, there was these gorgeous rocks everywhere. And there was just a big waterfall coming down, like splashing down the rocks right next to me. And I just laid there. Like, it was so nice. There was some ants hanging out next to me, and we were buddies for a while. And it was like the loud waterfall kind, where it's just like, you can't really be stressed. You can't really think about your problems while you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the biggest thing for me, is I think working from home, I need to get out of the house to relax.
Dude, yes, yes. I was just about to say, my brain is like, you know, I got home after my Magic thing, and I was like, man, I'm not in the great mood. Like, I just want to sit around and do nothing. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe I'll, like, watch some shows or something like that. And It's all, like, every time I do that, I just stay in a bad mood for the rest of the day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. I just stew in it. And I just sit there.
You don't
there.
Break the cycle. Like,
you
the mood
gotta do
reset.
It different. Yes. That is so, it is so hard because I know this, and then I get in that situation, I'm like, yeah, I know typically it's good when I leave, and I'm always so glad that I did, but
yeah, right.
This time I really don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm really not yeah. feeling it.
Trust me, Braid, this time's different.
It's so different this time around. Yeah, it just goes to show, like, how much our brains self-sabotage at times.
Right.
But man, yeah, that was such a big part of it for sure, which is being outside, feel like just being somewhere in nature, you know what I mean?
Real quick, me and Destiny were watching a YouTube video yesterday, I think, and it was like barefoot therapy or something like that, and it was showing that walking around outside on like grass and dirt reduces inflammation in the body, like scientifically proven that it reduces inflammation in the body.
Do I have to be wearing no shoes or socks for this to happen?
Yes.
I'm not doing it.
It, like, reconnects you or something and, like, restabilizes the body.
Yeah. Here's the thing about me, Bera. This is a true story. I hate walking around outside without shoes on. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bottoms of my feet are very soft, okay? I blame my mom for this. I was never allowed to leave the house without shoes and socks on as a kid. I never, like, ran around, like, barefoot in the stones and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so the bottoms of my feet are, like, literally, like, baby soft. Okay, not literally that soft, but they are unbelievably soft. Every time I get a pedicure, the person doing it is like, wow, the bottoms of your feet are really soft. And I'm like, thanks, I'm also very ticklish. I'm sorry, I'm about to, like, absolutely dome you with a kick.
In the face.
Oh, so close, so many times. Yeah, that is... So I really, like... It hurts. Like, I step on one little rock and my day is, like, ruined. My wife, who, like, ran around in gravel barefoot all of her life, will, like, could, like, step on Legos and be like, this is nothing. You know what I mean? Me, I see a Lego and I'm putting, like, a crime scene tape around it to make sure I don't get anywhere near it. Because I'm gonna break my foot in half if I step on it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way as you. I got some soft baby feet on the bottom.
It's embarrassing. I feel it's embarrassing how soft the bottom of my feet are. I'm embarrassed about it.
Do you want it to be hard? Like,
no, I just want it to be normal.
What's a normal foot feel like? How many feet have you felt then that have felt like soft versus hard?
I don't know. I guess I haven't felt that many feet, but. I know that, like,
sentence.
I know that is a really weird sentence, but I know that other people can, like, walk on a sidewalk without being in pain, without shoes or socks on. Like,
oh, dude,
not
those
me.
Those random rocks on sidewalks are like daggers, bro.
They
penetrate your foot.
You're done for, man. And it's so hot. Like, it burns me. It burns. How do they do it? I walk, like, I go to the beach and I walk on the sand with my bare feet and I'm like, I'm like freaking losing my mind. I'm like Bugs Bunny, you know, like freaking flopping everywhere because the bottom of my feet burns so bad. And my whole family's looking at me like I'm freaking insane the whole time. It's because I've got little baby feet. They're soft.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I got baby feet too.
Bera, we should put our feet through the real ringer. You know what I mean? Like we really just have to dedicate a whole like week to just absolutely annihilating our feet. We're gonna walk on nothing but Legos. In hot sand and hot asphalt, gravel. And after that week, our feet will be like disgusting and calloused, and we'll be men's men that way, you know?
Is that better than soft?
We only have, those are our only two options, Barrett.
We're
never aiming, we gotta aim for an extreme, you know? There's no way we could actually hit the mark otherwise. Yeah. All right, good answer, Barrett. You know,
thank you.
This was a weird podcast, but. It was a good one at the same time. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't, then
really
you don't have to YouTube comment. It's fine.
Okay.
We'll be back next week, maybe with harder feet this time. We'll do a foot hardness check-in during next podcast episode. Again, thanks to Factor. Go.factor75.com/backliners130 or code backliners130 for sponsoring the show. BetterHelp.com/backliners for 10% off at BetterHelp, finding your first few appointments. And, of course, Mint Mobile, mintmobile.com/backliners. We'll be back next week to talk about something or something else. So, Bera, you know what to do.
Bye.
Bera, that was a lot of pressure because we just said this was a good episode. Oh. And you were coming off a rough bye last week, if you recall.
Yeah, I remember.
And that was really well done. I'm really proud of you. The pressure was on. The heat was turned up. Your feet were scalding. And you still managed to deliver.
And something pinched in my back, and I've been squirming this whole episode.
Wow.
Something hurts a lot down there, and flu I gotta game. Figure this out.
Your version of the flu game. Well done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.